Bibles with us tonight in the Psalm 119 in verse 145. We preached on Wednesday night about how to pray, praying scripturally, praying biblically. And I told you tonight, if the Lord didn't change my heart, I was going to preach to you again about prayer. You know, sometimes we read over things and we overlook stuff and we don't think about things. Sometimes it's good for us to go back and read the Lord's pattern of prayer for us. Remind us how we should pray. And tonight I want to preach to you on how to pray with power. You know, there are some people that they pray and it just seems like everything they pray about happens. Amen? They pray and they're faithful in their prayer life for whatever it is that they're praying for. If you want somebody to pray for you, you seek out those people that you know are prayer warriors. Amen? Amen? Don't you? Amen. Well, when you got trouble in your life, who do you want praying for you? You want prayer warriors. Yes. Amen? You want people that you know can get a hold of the throne room of God and ring the bells of heaven on your behalf. Amen? Amen? You want people that can pray with power. Amen? Amen? Pray with purpose. And pray pleasing God. In Psalm 119, verse 145, down to verse 152, the psalmist says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you for each one that is gathered here this evening. And ask you, Lord, to help us, Father, see things in your word tonight that helps us, Lord, to have power in our prayer life. We know, Father, that it's not about the multitude of words. It's not about the eloquence of words. It's about how we present those words and bring those words that make the difference. Now, Lord, help us to see that tonight, and we'll praise you for all that you've said and all that you'll do and all that we hope in you, Lord, to see happen. In Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. The Bible said that the psalmist cried with his whole heart. He said, I cried with my whole heart. I want you to know something. If you want to have power in your prayer life, you're going to have to pray fervently. You're going to have to pray with everything that you got. He prayed with his whole heart. The Lord told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. You see, many times we pray and we're not praying wholeheartedly. We pray and our hearts and our minds are everywhere but what we're supposed to be praying about. The psalmist said, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. We need to make sure that our heart's desires are being poured out with everything that we got. We pray with our whole heart. We pray with all that is within us. And when we start praying, that way we start praying with everything we got, then we see God start to answer prayers. Amen? Now, like I said, prayer's not in the multitude of words. Prayer's not in the eloquency of the words. But prayer is in the heart. John Bunyan, that old saint who spent a major part of his adult life in prison for his Baptist faith, wrote many books from his prison cell. In his dying sayings, made this profound statement. It is better to have heart without words than words without heart. Did you get that? It's better to pray a few words that have your whole heart into it than a whole multitude of words that have no heart backing them up. Amen? We need to learn to pray wholeheartedly when we're praying unto God. And then in verse 146 says, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. We not only need to pray with our whole heart fervently, we need to pray pointedly as we're praying fervently. How can you pray fervently if you're not directing your prayer to where it needs to be? Amen? I mean, some people pray and you hear the prayer, they might as well be talking to the wall. Amen? The psalmist says, I cried unto thee. I just didn't talk to thee. I cried unto thee. I cried with my whole heart unto thee. I cried with everything that is within me that I might make my petitions known. I don't always know how I should pray and what I ought to pray, but I'm thankful that when my whole heart is in it, the Spirit will take up where I'm lacking. But I need to make sure that my prayer is directed unto the one that has the ability to get things done. In Colossians 4:12, the Apostle Paul says that Epaphras, he was a faithful brother, a faithful servant with him, a fellow servant. He said Epaphras was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. In James 5:16, it tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we will pray with our whole heart, if we'll pray pointedly, and we'll pray submissively, we can have power in our prayer life. Look at what he said in 145 and 146. I cried unto thee with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Amen. You know, if we're going to call on God, we got to submit ourselves to God's will. If we're going to submit ourselves to God's will, we got to get in God's word. And we got to walk according to the word. We got to pray according to the word. We got to live our lives according to the word. That's the way that we have power in our prayer life. We can't go out here and just do whatever we want, live however we want, speak however we want, treat people however we want, and expect God to bless our lives when we come to Him in prayer. He said, my whole heart, I'm crying. And I'm going to keep your word. It's unto you that I'm crying. And I'm going to keep your word. You know, some of us work on jobs where we work in labor unions. And we got contracts. You know? Most of the time, the companies keep their end of the bargain, but the employees are, I hate to say it, I've seen it too many times. And the guys I work with, they would complain about the company this, the company that, the company this. I said, hold on a minute. I said, isn't the company doing everything just exactly like they said in this contract that we got? Yeah, I said, you get a paycheck every Friday? Is your paycheck right? You getting your health benefits? You getting your vacation time? Brother Steve can back me up on this. They'll complain about the company. And, you know, the company's doing everything that they said they was going to do. And here they're out hiding behind the bridges and under buildings and everywhere else trying to keep out of work. I've seen guys spend more time trying to get out of work than they do just actually getting the job done and being going on with it, you know. And, yeah, they still want everything, but they don't want to do their part. That's the way we are sometimes in our prayer life. We want everything from God, but we don't want to do our part. The psalmist says, I'm putting my whole heart, I'm putting my whole focus in this thing, but I'm going to surrender and submit myself unto thus saith the word of God. Pray fervently. don't mean you have to have a bunch of words. Nehemiah is one of my Bible heroes simply because he was a man of prayer. It wasn't, I shared this the other night, he didn't pray great big long eloquent prayers, exasperating prayers. He prayed to the point. Lord, the enemies are hassling me. Lord, the enemies are causing me problems. Deal with them. Simple as that. Lord, the king's asked me a question. Give me the words to answer him. You know, it wasn't that they were long and wordy prayers, but they were coming from his heart. They were his desire. And he was willing to submit himself to God's will. Secondly, we need to pray faithfully. Now, some of you folks in here are married or have been married. Some of you are anticipating marriage, I guess. But what would happen if you was unfaithful with that one? And I don't mean now cheating on them, but just didn't spend no time with them, was never there, never talked to them, never seen them. You only showed up. Man, what would it be like if you only showed up and told your woman, feed me. Woman, wash my clothes. Woman, do this. Woman, do that. Women showed up. Man, where's your paycheck? Man, give me some money. Man, give me. Man, give me. Man, give me. That's not a relationship, is it? That's not being faithful to one another. That's just being demanding, being demeaning. But the psalmist says here in verses 147 and 148, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now, if we're going to pray faithfully, we need to pray continually. The psalmist says that there was seven times a day in which he could find time to pray. In Luke, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John told his disciples. A prayer that is not scriptural is prayer that has no power. Amen? And prayer that has no power is just a bunch of empty words. But verses 147 and 148 tells us of the faithfulness of the psalmist in his prayer. He said, I prevent the dawning of the morning. Now, we know that you can't stop the sun from rising. Amen. But you know what the psalmist is saying? He's saying, in my life, before the sun is up, I'm spending time with the Lord. Before the day dawns, before anything else transpires in my life, I'm spending time with the Lord. Amen? Sometimes that's the only time you can get time, is when everybody else is asleep, when everybody else is going. Sometimes the only time I can study is after she goes to bed and there's nobody around. And she'll tell you sometimes, she'll say, I'm going to bed. I say, go on, I'll be up in a little bit. And just in that time of solitude, that time of peace when there's nobody else around you and you're studying, you get your best times of meditation. Sometimes I kick back and close my eyes. She says, that's the weirdest studying I've ever seen. Amen. But I'm shutting everything else out. I'm shutting the world out. I don't want to see anything else. I've got enough going on in this crazy mind of mine racing through without something else coming by and distracting me sometimes. And sometimes we just need to get alone with the Lord. He says, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, and I hoped in thy word. See, we want to hear from the Lord, but we don't ever want to open his word. We want to hear from Jesus, and we don't want to open his word. We're waiting for some kind of thunder to rattle and lightning to flash around us and everything else. And he's talking to us all the time through his word, but we don't want to open the word. We don't want to hear what he has to say. We say, I love Jesus and I want to hear from Jesus. I want to know what Jesus has for me in my life. But we don't want to get into the Word to hear what He says. Sometimes He answers our prayers speaking to us through His Word. Amen. The psalmist said, I prevented the dawn. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in Thy Word. What's his focus? What's he being faithful to? He's being faithful to God, being faithful to His Word, being faithful to what is going to bring power in his life, power in his prayers, power that he's hoping for, power that he's longing for. It ought to be a duty and a responsibility that we place upon ourselves to make the Lord our first priority and our very last privilege to speak to at night. You know, we get these preachers on TV that tell you, you have the right to demand God to do this because God's Word said He's going to do that. And if He said He's going to do it, you can tell Him to do it. And He's going to do it. He has to do it because He said He's going to do it. Let me tell you something. God don't have to do anything. God only has to do what He wants to do. And sometimes people misconstrue God's Word. I wonder what they do with that verse over there in 1 John, that we know He hears our prayers if we ask according to His will. You know, that's the whole key to your prayer life right there, is wanting God's will for your life. And they can tell you, you can command God and He's going to make you rich. You can command God and He's going to make you healthy. He's going to heal you. Man, if they had this power to heal people and could command God to heal people, the hospitals should be empty. Hey, man, bunch of charlatans that built people out of money, make people see things incorrectly. That's why it's important for you to be in the Word, not to listen to some preacher, including me. Including me. Amen. It's your responsibility to search out the Word. It's your responsibility to seek God first thing in the morning and last thing in the evening and meditate in His Word. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray faithfully. We need to pray forwardly. You know the problem in our Christian walk? We got too many mealy-mouthed Christians. Amen. I was preaching up a new beginning this morning about contending for the faith. Too many Christians won't speak up when they need to speak up. Too many Christians won't witness when it's time to witness. Too many Christians don't take the opportunity when God lays a burden on their heart to witness or to give someone a track or to invite someone to church, and we let those things fall. We're too mealy-mouthed. And you know what? We get too mealy-mouthed in our prayer life. Well, Lord, you know. So there's nothing wrong. We need to be humble before God. Amen? But God knows fake humbleness. You ever see the old preachers? I call it the holy hunch. The old boys from down south especially, they get in, they think it makes them look more holy as they walk around and they preach all hunched over and bent over. It's their style. It don't make you any more holy. Some preachers think because they are all dignified and they have titles behind their name and they never mispronounce a word and they pronounce everything just to the letter and to the T, and they're just this and they're that. They got every T crossed, every I dotted, and hey, everything that their suits are meticulous, and they have the monogram shirts and the cufflinks and all the stuff that they just think makes them somebody, and they think that they are somebody and they think it makes them more holy. It don't do a thing for them. God still knows their heart. Amen. But we need to come forwardly. We need to come like who we are. We are His people. If we've been born again, we've been bought with the blood. Amen. We are His. He's ours. And we need to come before Him. We need to ask Him in prayer purposely for those things. I'll tell you what, Lord, if it's your will, say, Lord, please save my children. It is His will. How do we know that? It's not His will that any should perish. Amen. Quit beating around the bush about it. I'll tell you something else we need to start beating around the bush about. It's little Jane and little Johnny that have never been saved. They said some silly little prayer in a Bible school or something that somebody told them, if you save this, you're going to be saved the rest of your life and you'll never lose your salvation and you can go out and do anything and live any way and you'll always be saved. I'm dealing with them now that has been here to Bible school and somebody told them they were saved. They never darkened the house of God again in their life. They've lived a riotous, boisterous, sinful life and they think everything's all right when they come down to their dying day. How do I know that? Because I've talked to them. And I know some of them. And I guarantee you, they might have said a prayer. But they never got saved. You say, no, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm telling you the truth. Your sons and daughters are going to split hell wide open if you quit running around playing with these silly little dreams. That everything's all right just because they said a prayer when they were 4 years old. That they never really understood what they were saying. I believe wholeheartedly in eternal security. But the only thing that's eternally secure is whatever has been given unto Him. And I can back up what I say with Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 4 says, any man that says he's one of His and keeps not His commandments is a liar. Now tell me where little Jane and little Johnny are right now. Amen or ouch.
Amen.
We need to quit fooling around and praying for little Jane and little Johnny all mealy-mouthed, and we need to pray forwardly for what they are. Lord, my sons and my daughter, my grandchildren are on their way to hell. Lord, would you bring Holy Ghost conviction in their life so that they might come to the place of salvation? Amen. You say, you're awful hard, preacher. I don't agree with that, preacher. You bring me Bible to show me otherwise. Amen. You bring me Bible that shows me contrary, and I'll refute what I just said. I'm dealing with people all the time, my age or older, especially, that are finding out they got terminal diseases. Oh, I went to church here when I was a kid, and I got saved back then. Well, what have you done? Well, I just got so busy, I just never had time. You tell me you're saved? If any man says that I'm one of his and keep not his commandments. I'm not preaching to Dennis, I'm preaching the Word. I'm not preaching my prerogatives. I'm preaching gospel truth. Amen. We need to be honest and we need to be forward. We need to go boldly before the throne of grace. We've been invited in. And don't go in dragging a bunch of lies with you. Go in speaking the truth. Go in praying and begging God to have mercy in your family's lives, in your children's lives, asking God to have mercy on their souls that they might have one more time to come to the realization that they're lost and on their way to hell. I don't want to see another family look at me and tell me that they're not sure that their loved one is in heaven. I'd like them to say, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They trusted Him. They lived for Him, their life was surrendered to Him, and I know that I'm going to see them again.
Amen.
Just had a woman here the other day. Her husband died, called, wanted me to do the funeral. I said, was he saved? She said, well, he went to church when he was a kid. I said, that's not what I ask you. Was he saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he in heaven? said, I hope so. I hope so. Friends, we need know so salvation. Friends, we need know so authority and power when we go into the, you know, we've been granted that authority. We've been granted that privilege to come into the throne room of God and to make our petitions known. And we walk around and we beat around the bush and we talk about everything else and we get all mealy-mouthed instead of facing the problems that are before us, the problems that we're dealing with head on and taking them to the Lord. If you want to go to heaven not knowing that your children are saved beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's up to you. If you want to go to heaven and leave your family behind, trust in them, and some little prayer that they said and their lives emulating hell in every aspect, in every regards, have no time for the Lord, have no time for His house, have no time for anything that deals with Him. You can do that if you want to. But I want God to save my lost family. I want God to save those who are dying. Poor Susan, my new sister-in-law, found out 2 days before her wedding that her sister had died of cancer. They were hiding it from her, keeping it from her. I think not trying to upset her wedding. And she was upset. But she posted something that was just so dear to my heart. She said she had a chance to talk to her sister just a short while before that and to tell her about Jesus and to tell her that Jesus saves and was able to lead her to the Lord. And she knows that her sister got saved. That's the kind of grace that I want in my life. That's the kind of prayer I want to be able to have. That, Lord, I can thank You for saving my friends. Lord, I thank You for saving my family. Lord, I thank You for saving those who are going on. Lord, I've been promised that I can come boldly before Your throne, and I've come to beseech You on behalf of my loved ones. I've come to beseech You on behalf of my needs. Lord, I want Your will in my life. But I want my life surrendered to Your will. You can't be living according to the flesh and have power in your prayer life. Man sees the outside, but friend, God sees the heart. Man sees the pretense and everything else, but God sees the heart. In Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the Lord said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Hear my voice. According unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The disciples said, we are better off obeying God than we are obeying man. David told Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and all these weapons of war and these things of war. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Daniel told Darius, my God is able. Don't worry, old Darius, you throw me in there. My God is able. When Darius come in the morning and he had him remove the stone to the lion's den, he said, Daniel, was your God able? And Daniel said, yes, he was. Amen. Amen. You can trust in the arm of flesh all you want. You can trust in your hope and dreams all you want. I'm going to trust in God. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray faithfully. We need to pray forwardly. And we need to pray fearlessly. Look at verses 151 and 152. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. 331 times in 144 sections throughout the Word of God, we're told to fear not. As long as we're trusting God and turning everything over to Him and giving everything to Him, we have nothing to fear. God says, fear not. And He reminds us again and again and again throughout His Word, Fear not. Why are we running around feared and worried about everything? Worried about what the government's going to do. Worried about what the Democrats are doing. Worried about what Trump's doing. Worried about what this bunch is doing. Worried about what this bunch is doing. Let's worry about what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've read the book, and in the back of the book it says we win. Amen. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Amen. I don't know the rest of that, but I'm glad that I'm on the winning side. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that you're on the winning side? And because you're on the winning side, it don't matter. They can burn my body. They can hang my body. They can torture me. They can do whatever they want to. The apostles were killed in all kinds. They were martyred in all kinds of different ways. But they never stopped trusting God. They never stopped praising Him. They never stopped worshiping Him. Oh, Peter, when they nailed him upside down, I was still a trust in Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord was. Turned me upside down, and they did. Praise God. He knew that no matter what they did to this flesh, he was still on the winning side.
Amen.
That's why the psalmist says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. I can pray fearlessly because I don't have to worry about what's going on in this world. I can pray scripturally. I don't have to worry about what's happening in the world. I can pray faithfully. I don't have to worry about what's transpiring around me. I can pray fervently. You know, Daniel, when they put out the decree not to ask a petition of any man, they knew that's the only way they was going to get Daniel. He went home, and a preacher said, well, he slung the windows open, and he made sure everybody could. I don't think he did that. I think he just went on doing what he normally did. He didn't make no big pretense about it, but he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid to call on God. Man, we was up there today, and if y'all haven't seen my Facebook, I got three of the songs uploaded from By Grace. Beverly England and Kathy Cogdill and the other two ladies. I know one of them's last name is Sexton. I can't think of the other one, but they all used to sing together over at Trinity. As far as I know, the only place they ever sung outside of their church was they sung here for our ladies' conference one time. But they sung that song today. It's still one of my most favorite songs of all times. When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. Amen. You remember that song? How come those good songs, you know, a new song comes along and automatically just drop a good song? Like, you know, it always amazed me. We're so fickle. Amen. When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. Man, I need not fear what man can do. All I need to do is trust in what God can do. Amen. I'm not worried about what's happening in this world. I'm worried about what's going to happen in the next world. Psalm 27:3 says, though an host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's trusting in the Lord. Psalm 56:1-4 says, be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that are against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, in God. I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Praise his name. In God, amen. In God, I don't have to fear. In God, I can pray fearlessly. In God, I can pray powerfully. In God, I can pray knowing that he's able to do all things. In Psalm 118:69, it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Praise God, knowing that I can trust him, knowing that I can turn all things over to him, knowing that I can call on him. I can pray fearlessly and have great power in my prayer because I'm praying assuredly. Amen. Praying knowingly, praying confidently, knowing the Lord is near, we can pray fearlessly. Knowing the promises that he makes his people, We can pray fearlessly, knowing that the Bible reminds us, as Solomon prayed over there, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And not one of your promises, Lord, has ever failed." I can pray fearlessly, knowing that God never fails. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Heads bowed.